right, we're going to open up our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Some of you are very familiar with this. This is a very interesting chapter that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus about spiritual warfare, right? So that's something that we're not, you know, we're not able to see. It's something that takes faith to believe. Like a lot of things that the Bible calls us to, we need to believe. We need to believe God's word and then act on it. So last week we looked at faith. We called it Got Faith. So this week I thought, well, week two is going to be called Got Your Shield. You know, like just let's make sure, let's examine ourselves as scripture says and make sure that we're walking in faith and that we understand what that means. Last week we realized that faith is truly a gift from God. We don't create it ourselves. It's something that comes from God to us. And it's by his grace, just like his love. We didn't create God's love in us. He gave us his love through Jesus Christ. He also gave us faith. You wouldn't be believing in God if he didn't give you the faith to believe. And so God has poured out his grace on us and given us faith to become his children. So this week we're going to look and see just how powerful and useful faith can be to believers when we take it up, when we put it into action. So we will examine something that this passage in Ephesians 6 calls the shield of faith. The shield of faith. Now, it's mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6, but that's not the only place in the Bible that shields are mentioned. So the Apostle Paul, who was writing this chapter, he wrote about the shield of faith as a part of the armor of God that every believer has access to. In other words, God has given it to you. You have access to it. Now, whether you use it or not, your choice. God has not taken away free will. We sometimes cringe because we have free will and we don't always choose the right thing. Well, he has given us his armor. It's a gift. He's given us the armor of God, which is written about in Ephesians chapter 6. But we have to access it, and we have to do that daily or regularly, right? So if you turn there to Ephesians chapter 6, I'm going to read just starting in verse 10 through 16. So we're not going to do the whole passage. We're not going to do all the pieces of the armor. We're looking specifically at the shield because it's called the shield of faith, and we want to know about it so that we can activate our faith, that we can live in faith. All right, so in chapter 10, he says, finally, so that means he's been saying a lot of things before this that you should go back and read, but finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. Now, let me just make a point there. Your strength doesn't come from you. When you feel weak, especially in your spiritual life, ask God for his strength. Don't try to create strength in yourself, just like with faith. Don't try to create faith in yourself. Ask God for it. He gives generously to his children. He pours out what we need to us. So he strengthens us by the Lord, by his vast strength or his mighty strength, it says. And then in verse 11, goes on to say, put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. All right? So right here, we're going into like spiritual territory. You know, we're talking about someone, again, we can't see. Can't see the devil. We can see what he does. We can see what he's able to produce in people's lives. But we don't see the devil, just like we don't see God. These are spiritual beings that are beyond our physical experience. And then he explains that in verse 12. He says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, things we can see and touch, but against the rulers and the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil, spiritual forces in the heavens. Woo! All right, we're already in deep, deep, deep trouble, right? Because we are limited in our capacity, right? We are physical beings. We're physical beings who have been given a spirit, the Spirit of God, when we came into Christ, but we are limited by our physicalness, our physicality, we call it. We're limited. I can only be in one place at one time. So I'm here this morning with you. You too, right? We can't be everywhere at once. We can't be all over the globe like God can be, but we can be here right now. So we're limited by that, but we live in a spiritual world, a world that has powers and principalities, spiritual forces in the heavenlies. And so it's for this reason, because we're limited and we can't do these things that are beyond us as humans, God has given us a gift. And that's in verse 13. For this reason, take up the full armor of God, the gift from God, the full armor. So that you may be able to resist in the evil day. And having prepared everything, to take your stand. Stand therefore with truth, like a belt around your waist, with righteousness, like armor on your chest, and your feet sandaled with readiness for the gospel of peace. And here's our key verse for this morning. In every situation, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And we'll stop there this morning. In every situation, you are able to extinguish all the flaming arrows if you take up the shield of faith. So we want to learn about that, right? Because I don't know about you, but I don't like being hit with flaming arrows. They hurt. They burn. They cause damage. They mess me up, right? They can destroy relationships. They can destroy my relationship with God. They can destroy my relationship with other people. Flaming arrows are not good things. We're going to look at them in a moment. It's good news to know that God has provided this piece of armor. He's using this analogy for us. This piece of armor to help protect us against those flaming arrows. So, now that we've read that, we're going to look specifically at that one piece this morning. You should study the whole thing in your own free time. But I want you to remember, Paul was a well-educated, sophisticated man. He wasn't frightened easily, as evidenced by his numerous travels and the situations that he survived, included being shipwrecked 3 times. He ministered in a place and time where Christians were arrested, where they were imprisoned for their faith, and where many of them were martyred, killed for their faith. That's when he was ministering. We're not in that zone right now, but he was in a very difficult situation. And despite all those physical threats, because that was real imprisonment, that was real beatings that he went through. Despite all that, the enemy that Paul decides to teach about is one that we can't see with our physical eyes. Interesting, right? He could have talked about how to get out of your court appearances, or how to get out of jail free, or he could have talked about some of those more physical things, but instead he focuses on what we should also be focusing on, the spiritual world. The evil that's in this world that could come against us. So the shield of faith is the equipment that God has provided to protect us from Satan's fiery arrows, or flaming arrows, the scripture says. And yes, it's unseen. We don't see them. They're not physical. But he's trying to use a physical picture to help us to understand something. So, what can we learn about faith, since that's what we're studying last week and next week? What can we learn about faith from this image of a shield? So, we're going to look at the shield now for a few moments. So the Roman shield that Paul had in mind was called the scutum, right? That's a little word there, the Roman shield, the scutum, right? This type of shield was as large as a small door and would cover the warrior entirely, especially if he was tall, he'd just crouch down a little bit. If he was short like me, he'd be fine, right? It would cover him completely. A shield wasn't just defensive, but it could also be used to push opponents back. And when fighting as a group, a troop of soldiers could position their shields to form an enclosure, which they actually called the tortoise or the turtle, right? You can see why. Because they were all encased in this shell of shields. These shields could also be interlocked by a line of soldiers to create a nearly impenetrable wall against the attacking forces. Sometimes the front line of soldiers would create a shield wall, allowing the second line of shoulders to thrust their soldiers to thrust their shields over the top of the first line and to get their attackers. So there was all kinds of uses for this shield. The soldiers would gather together in a tight square group with their soldiers on all four sides and with shields on the top. They could protect themselves on all sides with these shields. This was especially helpful when they were protecting against those arrows that Paul talks about, which can be launched from the walls of a city or can go up an arch and come back down on top of them. In this way, the shield helped the Roman soldiers work together as a unit. Now, you know me if you've been here before. I'm all about togetherness. We are far too independent in our thinking, especially about our faith. It's not just about you. It's about all you guys and gals together. Yous guys, as they say. It's about yous guys, all of us. And this is a good illustration for us. We like to think that the armor of God is one set for each person. And that may be true. You get your set, but it doesn't actually work too well unless you work together. So if you had one shield, who's going to protect you from behind? I don't know. Who's going to protect you from above? I don't know, because I'm busy protecting from the front. Who's going to protect you on each side? I don't know, right? So the body of Christ, once again, is illustrated here, the necessary meaning behind the body of Christ. We need each other. Stop thinking you can do it alone. The enemy likes it that you think that way, because then you isolate yourself from one another. And you think, oh, you know, nobody cares about me, and nobody knows my troubles, the troubles I've seen, you know, like we get real isolated. And when we do that, we're not bound together in love, helping one another, protecting one another as a unit, the way that God designed us to function. Remember when Paul teaches about the body, he says, the eye can't say to the foot, I don't need you. The eye needs the foot. Oh, the eye's going to fall over and trip, right? So we all need each other. And this is a great illustration for us that working together as a unit, as the body of Christ, we have all the protection that we need against whatever the enemy throws our way. You see, the soldiers in this formation are a band of brothers. And they're unified. And the shield was their primary method to defend themselves in the midst of a battle. So you may be in a battle. We are all in a battle, collectively, in this world, right? Paul just said, you're not wrestling against flesh and blood. There's powers and principalities at work all over the place, doing all kinds of evil stuff. That's the battle. That's the soup that we're in. That's what we're part of, right? But we're in the world, but not of it. We have been given by God through the grace of Jesus Christ and through his love armor to protect us even in the battle. So we so often, like me, like I'm a little coward, I'd be like, God, take me out of this battle. Take me and put me someplace where there's no fights, right? And I can be far away from all those yucky people. And God says, no, go into all nations and preach the gospel. Just do it. I will go with you. I will go before you. I will go behind you. I will go beside you. I will be with you, but you still need to go. It's like Joshua in the battle of Jericho, right? You still need to enter the promised land, but I'm going to go with you. See, Joshua was a little worried. This is an Old Testament story. He was a little worried because Moses wasn't going, and he'd always been with Moses, and God worked through Moses, great miracles, and so he was dependent on Moses, and now Moses wasn't going in the promised land. He had died. And so Joshua needed a little encouragement. So God said, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed or confused, for I will be with you. So when Jesus came and started the church and he began to put us together as a body, he's with us in this body. He is with us to protect us, to help provide protection in an evil world. So God has given us faith. So shields, just to get back to the shield for a moment, they were made of wood, but they were covered with like an animal hide. And the reason I want to describe this is because this helps us to understand the language that Paul uses here. To extinguish all the fiery arrows. Extinguish is to put out a fire, right? So they took that shield made of wood, but covered in an animal hide, and they soaked it in water. They soaked it in water before the battle. So that it could extinguish the flaming arrows. If the flaming arrow hit your shield and stuck, it would go out. Now, the other thing about the shield is that it's not flat. It's not a flat shield. It's actually curved around the edges. And so that when something hit it, it could deflect it. It could go in a different direction. It would not just like stick to it. So these are designs that the Roman Empire figured out in their warfare that would help them. So that rocks and arrows and things that were they're thrown at their soldiers would be deflected. It wouldn't be a direct hit. Notice the words that we read in these verses. Notice how many times it talks about standing, right? The Apostle Paul uses the word stand in verse 11, and then resist and stand in verse 13, and then again stand in verse 14. Now, when you tell someone to do something three times, especially if it's your spouse, they sometimes get annoyed with you. Like, take out the garbage. Don't forget to take out the garbage. Take out the garbage. I'm taking out the garbage! Right? So the repeat thing, it can get on us, right? But why are they doing that? Because you forget to take out the garbage. If you didn't forget, they'd say it once and you'd do it, right? So even in scripture, that principle can be helpful for us. God repeats through the Apostle Paul, stand, stand, resist and stand. What's the alternative? Fall, fall back, fall down. You know, hide in a corner, you know, bury yourself under a rock. I mean, this is a defensive action that God wants us to take. And he has to say it three times because I guess we're a little wimpy sometimes and we don't want to stand. We want to run, retreat, you know, this is bad. And God says, you don't need to retreat. You can stand by faith in Jesus Christ. You can stand in any battle. That shield of faith will extinguish all the flaming arrows. I love that. So don't miss these words. Don't miss this when you read this passage. Now, one of the reasons he may have said stand is because this shield, because I said it's the size of a door, and now that it's soaked in water, it might be pretty heavy. And they would actually like dig it into the ground, like give it a spot on the ground and stand there. And as they fought one another, they'd reach out, you know, hold the shield with one hand and reach out with their sword or spear around the shield on the other. But they would stay behind it for their protection. It was solid. It was something that they could plant themselves behind and be safe, protected from the darts and the arrows and the spears of the attack of the enemy. So the strength and genius of the Roman military was their ability to stand firm. This is why they took over the known world. They could defeat any army because of their tactics. And this was one of their tactics. They had the ability to stand on a field of battle, defending even a small piece of land from any and all attackers by using their shields in the way that I described earlier. Nothing could beat the Roman Empire for many hundreds of years. When a soldier did fall, so say somebody got a spear in the side or something like that. When someone did fall, they had a strategy even for that. Two soldiers on either side would close ranks, protecting the fallen comrade from any further damage, while the soldiers behind them would begin to drag that fallen soldier backwards to safety and protection. So yes, sometimes some people got hurt, but they still weren't left to die alone on the battlefield. their brothers and sisters come around them and pull them to safety. This is a beautiful picture for us. So the shield is extremely effective in helping to maintain our unity and the mutual protection that God provides through the body of Christ. Our faith is so important and powerful when we put it into action, when we use it, when we live it. So, to wound a soldier, the enemy first had to get past the door. Here's a picture of a shield that they've uncovered in their archaeological digs, right? It's rounded, almost looks like a barrel, but it's open in the back. And they could come in sort of and be protected on their sides, even as they stood there alone. But they were not alone, right? So this is important for us to understand. In understanding what Paul is talking about with this shield, it is a very unique piece of their armor. Now, he says in that verse that I read, in every situation, take up the shield of faith in which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Always, in every situation. Our version says in every situation. If you're reading NIV or one of the other translations, the first words in verse 16 might be, always take up the shield of faith, or above all, take up the shield of faith. In ours, it says, in every situation. These are all translations of the Greek words, but it makes sense to us that we need to do this on a daily basis. We need to do this on a regular basis. Paul wants us to understand that the shield is so important. Now, picture going into warfare without a shield, right? You might still have breastplate of righteousness, a helmet on, but you're still semi-exposed, right? This is not like medieval times when they had all that armor that like came down like a tin man in the Wizard of Oz, like clink, clink, clink. It wasn't like that. They had a breastplate, they had, you know, good sandals on, and they had, you know, a sword, and they had a belt of truth on, you know, they had a belt, but they weren't covered all in metal. So don't picture the wrong kind of armor. This is older armor than what you're thinking of. You're thinking of the full body suit of armor. And this is important for us to understand because the shield then is all that more important. You're exposed without the shield. When you go into battle without the shield, you can get hit. You can get hit real bad in the face, maybe in your arms, right? And because they're exposed. You got a breastplate of righteousness, but there's not armor on your arms, right? So you're pretty exposed. I say that because I think that's why some of us are in trouble. We're not taking up the shield of faith. We're not uniting with brothers and sisters in Christ. We're trying to do it alone. And our faith is weak. Our faith is full of doubts and full of fear. And God's called us to stand together in faith, behind faith, and to, in every situation, activate it. So this doesn't mean that the shield is the most important piece of armor, because all the other pieces are critically important as well. And if you study that, don't take that the wrong way. But what Paul means is that the shield is above all or over all, in front of all the rest, right? It's the first layer of defense, the first line of defense for a Roman soldier. And that's why it was called the door. And you couldn't actually get to a soldier unless you could get through the door. His shield, right? You couldn't have any access to him unless you got through the door. It's interesting, in John 10, verse 10, Jesus actually calls himself a door, but we're going to look at that in just a few moments. We'll look at how God is that door. But to get to any other piece of the soldier, to get to any other piece of his armor, the enemy had to first get past the shield. That's why it's above all, or before all, or around all. We need this shield. The shield not only protects the body of the soldier, but also the other pieces of the armor. And since the shield was over all, in front of all, above all, surrounding them, the shield can protect everything. Again, when used together with other soldiers. This is why togetherness in the body is so important. So let's shift here to something else that's in this verse. What about these flaming arrows of the evil one? What does that mean? How did these fiery flaming arrows function on the field of battle? And why does Paul use that in this analogy? What are these flaming arrows for us as Christians in spiritual warfare? We need to know what they are, or we won't know how to defend against them. Since the evil one is a reference to the devil or Satan and the wicked forces that Paul mentioned in Ephesians 12, the flaming arrows are the weapons that Satan uses against believers. And those weapons are lies, half-lies, deceptions, thoughts aimed at causing us to doubt God, God's faithfulness, God's love. Because when we doubt God, we get discouraged, we get weak. And when we get real weak, we want to give up. We want to walk away. We say, I'm done with this. Right? The enemy can use these flaming arrows to destroy your faith. To destroy it, to burn it up so there's nothing left. It's important to be able to defend yourself against these lies and these half-lies, these half-truths, and these thoughts that want to come in and make you doubt God. Think about Eve in the Garden of Eden. How did Satan start his temptation with her? Anybody know? It starts with a question. Did God really say, don't eat of any of the trees of the garden? So he twisted and made her doubt what she had heard from God. She and Adam both fell for it. These half-truths, these twists, these deceptive thoughts that make us doubt God, make us then act out on those fears, act out in that anxiety, act out on that doubt, and we end up out of God's will. And when we're out of God's will, we're not wearing his armor. We're out there naked and ready to take it on the world. But we got nothing to protect us from these spiritual forces. God has provided everything that we need, but we have to put it on and use it. So even though we know what sort of weapons the wicked one uses, it doesn't mean that we're always ready for them when they come. So I think, again, we need to think through our actions a little bit. When we come to church, hopefully, we feel safe. We feel the love of God. We sense his peace. We find that peace while we're here. We build relationships. 1 hour and 45 minutes a week for some of you. Sometimes not even every week. Things come up. Work schedules, vacations, whatever. That is not what we're talking about. When you're here, you're safe, right? All those people in your life, the yucky ones at work, the ones you live with at home, they stayed away, right? You're here with people who are called and commanded to love you and forgive you and have grace with you. But when you go to work on Monday morning, those people who don't know Christ, they're not walking in that. They're walking in their flesh. And they're walking according to how the enemy has wired them, right? They're insulting, they're mean, they're cruel, they're nasty. Some of you work in places you know that are like that. The language is foul, the atmosphere is foul. And you as a Christian are trying to live your faith out in the midst of that battle. You have to know that your faith needs to be in God and not in yourself. Your faith is grounded in the community of brothers and sisters who make up the body of Christ. You can send a text, pray for me. Work's bad this morning. The boss is real mad. He said some nasty things to me. You know, there's all kinds of ways that we can reach out, even when we're not physically present, and we can support each other through prayer, through support, through love. We need to do more of that because too many of us are getting injured and wounded, and we don't really need to be injured and wounded. God came to give us life and to give us abundant life, to free us from some of this damage that's taking place, and to help us to walk in healing and wholeness moving forward in our lives. So there are flaming arrows that can come in quickly without warning. You didn't know that person was in such a bad mood. You didn't know that was going to happen. You didn't know that's what the doctor was going to say after those tests were done. Sometimes they come in like a sniper. You didn't see them coming. The sniper's hidden somewhere, you know, hundreds of yards away. But other times they come in like a storm. Flaming arrow after flaming arrow after flaming arrow, you know, just in a whole cloud of arrows. So in every situation, if you have your shield of faith up and you have built a community of believers around you who also have their faith up, you are able to extinguish all of those arrows. I know that's hard to believe, but that's what faith calls us to. Believe in what God's word says. When they hit, they're painful. They're destructive. They destroy our lives. But thankfully, God has given us a shield of faith, causing the flaming arrows to lose their fire and their force. The shield is able to protect each from each and every one of those lies that the enemy has, that the enemy sends, those doubts that he sends into your mind. Not just some of them, but all of them, verse 16 says. We tolerate some of this stuff because we think, well, that's just the way life is. I got to let that go, you know. But we need to get into the spiritual battle and realize that we can extinguish that fire. It doesn't have to be burning inside of us. The shield doesn't just stop the arrows. It extinguishes all of them. It snuffs them out, the flaming arrows, so that when they strike the shield does not burn, but it remains intact. A shield that's been soaked in the water of the word is intact, and it's ready to accept that. So as we defend ourselves, don't miss this. This protection is not automatic. This is why some people get discouraged in their faith. They think, well, God's going to take care of everything and everyone. Well, he is taking care of everything and everyone, but he calls you to partner with him and to do your part, to stand in faith, to believe in his word, to absorb it into your mind more than you're absorbing what the world is feeding you. We are to take up the shield of faith. We have to lift it up. It's not easy. These shields were heavy. These soldiers, they had to get some good guns to hold that thing in place and to move around with that. That's why sometimes they planted it on the ground and got behind it because it got too heavy. But we are able to stand when we take up our faith. So before we look at how to take up your faith, your shield of faith, it's important to remember that just like all the other pieces of armor, this piece of armor is God's armor. The armor of God. It doesn't say the armor of Todd. It says the armor of God, right? This is God's armor. He gives to us. Just like salvation, he gives to us. He's given it to us by his grace. Read verse 10 and 11. Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. You don't have to figure out the devil. In fact, Christians who try to take too much time trying to figure out the devil, I get worried for them. Because the devil, he's so messed up. And if you're trying to figure out his every plan and his every this and his every that, I don't know. I feel like you're focusing on the wrong thing. Get your eyes on Jesus. He's the author and perfecter of your faith. Don't keep your eyes on the devil, right? That is a dark place to go. Don't stay there long. If you have to go there, come right back out, you know. Don't stay there long and try to figure out that. You know, back in the 60s, there were these books that were being produced by, probably because the charismatic movement was going on within the churches and people were realizing their demons are real for the first time. You know, they've been brought up in the liberal church where none of this was real, you know, and now all of a sudden spiritual things are real. There are real demons. There is a real devil. And then people started to write books about it. Well, you know, let's categorize the demons. Let's name them all. And so there's like a book with like 100 different demon names and what those demons do and where they come from. And I'm like, where the heck did you get that information? That is creepy. I don't want the book, you know. I just want to be with Jesus. You know? I just want to be protected by his love and his grace. I'm not trying to figure out the devil and all his stuff. He's way beyond me as far as a spiritual being with power. I don't have that, but God has it. And here's the good news. This shield, this is not the first time this has shown up. Remember I said Paul, he's a very educated man. He was educated in God's word. And he knew the word of God, especially the Old Testament, because now he's writing the New Testament. So in the Old Testament. And there's a passage way back with the father of our faith, Abram, or Abraham, as we come to know him, where it says he believed God and his faith in God was credited to him as righteousness. In other words, his faith saved him. Genesis 15:6. And we're told in verse 15:1 that God himself will be Abram's shield. The passage actually says, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield." So I want you to put your name in there where Abram, unless your name is Abram. Anybody here named Abram? Okay, put your name in there. Do not be afraid, Tom, Heather. Do not be afraid. I, the Lord, am your shield. You can't have a better shield than that. There is no greater shield than that. That's the best shield that anyone could ever have is God as their shield. So don't take this on yourself like you have to be your own best shield. Good luck with that. Let God be your shield. Let him be your armor. This is his armor anyway. We find the same idea throughout the entire Old Testament. The concept of God being our shield when we place our faith or trust in him. It's found over 20 times just in the book of Psalms. Over and over again, God is described as our shield. And I think we forget this. And we go out there naked thinking we got to make it on our own. We're never going to make it that way unless we let God be our shield. He's the one who protects us from that crazy enemy, the devil. You're not strong enough to fight the devil. I'm sorry. But with God, he is your shield. He's your protector. He's the one who can extinguish all those arrows of the enemy. So in Psalm 91, it says this. He will cover you with his feathers. See how gentle he is with us? He doesn't say he'll cover you with his armor, you know, metal, cold armor. Feathers! We like feathers. We make pillows out of feathers. We make mattresses out of feathers, right? Because they're gentle. They're soft. So he'll cover you with those feathers, but you can take refuge under him, but he's going to be your protective shield. So he's soft on the underside, but he's hard on the other side, right? So when the enemy comes against him, God is impenetrable on that side. But with you, he's gracious, he's loving, he's gentle, like a bird covering her little baby chicks. You're all so cute. Right? So in Psalm 3 says this, but you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head. Right? Your head ever get like, you can't take it no more, you just put your head down. My sister. You know, you can't lift your head anymore. You're just so like burdened or whatever. The lifter of your head is God. He'll come along and say, hey, get your chin up. You know that whole phrase, get your chin up. Get your chin up. Look to me. Connect with me. Let me be your shield. You're trying to take this all on your own. No wonder you're exhausted. Let me be your shield. And one final one is from the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. So, if you don't take refuge in God, you're giving up your shield. If you try to take refuge in your own wisdom, your own strength, or somebody else's advice that is not godly, you're exposing yourself to damage, to wounding, to hurt. Those who put their trust in him take up refuge. They take up protection. They take up strength. But it's the strength of God. It's the protection of God over their lives. So the little twist that kind of happens here in the meaning, remember that Paul, the shield that Paul said was like a wall or like a door behind which the Roman soldiers hid. The shield was considered to be their first line of defense. For an enemy to get to the soldier, as I said, the enemy first had to get past the shield. But with God as our shield, what do we have to fear? Who could get past God? He knows everything. He sees everything. No one can get past him. This is why it's so important to have faith in God, trust in God. There's nothing that's as large as God, as powerful as God, as strong as God, that can get past him and destroy you. That is what our faith tells us. That's what God's word tells us. That's why it's pure. Go to it. It's a pure source. Don't believe just what I say or what any other teacher says. Go read it yourself, and God will teach you the truth that you need to hear. And he'll protect you from the things that are hurting you, the things that are destroying you. As Christians, we need to acknowledge this. And then next week we'll talk some more about this. But there's nothing to fear from Satan. There's nothing to fear from wicked men and women in this world. There's nothing to fear about the future. But we're spending a lot of time worrying about those things instead of connecting with our shield, God himself. I love this illustration here. I don't know if you can see it, but I picture the man who's holding the shield as God. And I picture me as that little tiny kid sort of like playing with a Rubik's Cube or whatever that little tiny thing is doing, right? I'm under the protection of a mighty God who, no matter how many flaming arrows are coming at me, he can protect me from them. He has the power to do that. God is on my side, and he's on your side when we are in Christ Jesus. So to get through to a soldier like us, the enemy has to get past a God like our God. That's why our God is so great. That's why we worship our God, because he has the power to save. He has the power to redeem. He has the power to protect. And as Paul wrote in Romans 8, that he has the power to keep us in his love, to protect us by that love. And in Romans 8, he says, nothing in death, nothing in life. No angels, no principalities, no powers, nothing that's present, nothing that's in the future, anything in heaven, anything in the depths below. Any created thing can ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. None of those things can separate us from God's love, from the shield that can protect us. All the flaming arrows of temptation and deception and doubt and fear have to go through God to get to us. We need to act like that. Act on that truth. Don't let everything into your mind. Don't let every stray thought and arrow sort of like linger in there. Go to God's word. Prove it to be not true or true, depending on what you're listening to. Prove it by God's word. His word is pure and powerful. He's the door that the enemy has to go through. And we know our enemy is defeated because of the cross of Jesus Christ, because of the victory through the grave. The enemy is defeated. Yeah, is he still out there causing trouble? Yes, he is. But has God given us protection? Yes, he has. He's given us his armor, his very own